Good morning, River Church. Like you said, I'm Tim. I need a chair for putting stuff on. Nah, chair works. So this morning, we're going to be working out of Acts 8, 1 to 8. So if you guys would like to flip there. Today is a really, really cool passage. Very unique. It's almost like a fulcrum. We've got, before this passage, events happening, things unfolding, absolute craziness. But then we hit this passage and it switches. We've got the same chaos and the same craziness, but it's going a different direction. And so we kind of see it all building up, and then this is the point. This is where it happens. And then it switches and continues. And so just some context while we're talking about this. In the past couple weeks, we've been discussing a few passages that really pertain to this. The biggest one is going to be in Acts 1:8, which we'll get to later. But that is a foundational verse for the entire book. And so when we read about Acts, a lot of Acts 1:8 can be seen through almost every other verse. And so some first things you need to know, right before the passage that we're going to discuss was the spark. It was the event that started it all, and it was the stoning of a man named Stephen. As we learned last week, Stephen was really the first martyr, the first man to die for his faith. The first man to, while preaching the gospel, be killed. And so when Stephen died, it had been a long time coming, a lot building up, a lot of pressure. This new thing, Jesus coming, Jesus dying, and Jesus changing the way that it had been for so long, it was such a big deal, and it caused so much pressure on people who were familiar with their faith, people kind of transitioning into Christianity, people learning what it looked like, trying to figure out what it looked like to follow Jesus. And so during all this time, this pressure had been building, and people who had been very familiar with the things as they were and didn't want things to change were starting to get fed up. And so their patience, wearing thin, escalated and ended up killing a man named Stephen. Now, this death in itself is tragic. It was a man doing the things that he was called to do, doing things right, and yet persecution still hit. But even further than this, it was the spark that started a wildfire. Persecution went crazy. It got really hard to be a Christian in these days, and it didn't get easier. For the next about 300 years, things were just difficult. It wasn't a good day to be a Christian, and yet in the same breath, it was a great day to be a Christian. And so we'll get into this weird dynamic. But as we're seeing this persecution, don't lose sight of the fact that we're also seeing growth. The church was really just trying to figure things out and couldn't really get their feet on the ground before this persecution hit. But they reacted in a way that just caused more growth. They said, bad things happening. We're not going to let it stay that way. We're going to make it a good thing. And so let's get into our passage this morning. We're in Acts 8. We're going to read 1 to 8. It'll be on the screen. It says, And Saul approved of this execution, the execution of Stephen. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Now, in Jerusalem, this is the start. This is where it all began. Jerusalem is a capital city, and in this city, the Christian movement had begun. But when we look at the beginning of the book, the promise was that it wouldn't stay in any one city. It would just permeate and spread, and this is where we see the fulfillment of that promise. It says, devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. They cried. They lost a friend, and they also saw this persecution was starting. But Saul was ravaging the church and entering house after house. He dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. Average men, average women, choosing Jesus. Now, those who were scattered went about preaching the word, and this is where we'll come back to. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. And the crowds, with one accord, paid attention to what was being said by Philip. When they heard him and saw the signs that he did, for unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who had them, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was much joy in that city. So we're seeing this played out. This is it. In Acts 8:4, we see the fulcrum. It had been a long time that they had been spending in Jerusalem. They're just trying to figure it out, just taking it day by day, learning and addressing problems. We had seen a couple weeks ago the old widows, the grandmas, weren't receiving the right amount of food. Certain ones weren't receiving enough food. And so they said, oh, geez, we didn't even think of this problem. And they fixed it. And it's been this way for a long time. But now this is the point where it shifts. It's no longer, all right, we got to like just kind of figure things out. It's what we've got is good enough. We've got Jesus, and they hit the ground running. And so persecution hit, and they spread. Now, in this spread, we see a specific example. Philip went down to a city, just a city, and continued in this promise in Acts 1:8. And then he preached the gospel. It was crazy because from home, he would get killed. Like, he didn't have a chance. But then this persecution caused a scatter that caused tons and tons and tons of people to receive Christ. Now, let's flip to Acts 1:8, this passage I've been referring to, the foundation of the book of Acts. It says in Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. The promise is progress. The promise is a spread of wildfire. The promise is your immediate area, the surrounding area, and every part of the earth. And that as the new Christians were developing in this and learning this, it would create a multiplication. Like, it wouldn't be the original 300 or so that were hearing this promise. It was everyone, new members, old members. It was a big shake, big transition. But the promise was that they would receive power by the Holy Spirit. They wouldn't be alone. They're given this huge task. I mean, process it for yourself. Like, in this room, not so different in size. And so we're told now it's our responsibility to make sure the whole world hears about Jesus, and it's overwhelming. It's too much. But we weren't told we're doing it alone. We're given the Holy Spirit, and then we see him working mightily. We see these faithful, average people following God, being obedient to the Holy Spirit, and as fast as persecution spreads, the gospel spreads faster. Persecution can't keep up with the gospel at this pace. And so this is such a foundational and yet simple passage. It's an idea that as people spread, they don't have to do anything above what they're already doing. They had seen something huge. Some of them hadn't even seen firsthand this big thing. When Jesus came, that was big. God stepped into humanity. He took on flesh, and he was tortured and killed for our sake. That's big. That's huge. And so people who had seen this, or people who had heard this from a firsthand witness, that's overwhelming. Like, if you're told you've got this huge debt that you can't pay, and yet someone who's so good paid it for you, it's beautiful. It's huge. It's big. And yet that wasn't the extent of it either. This big thing, this impossible thing, wasn't the extent. God continued to be so faithful. They saw miracle after miracle. I love that in this Acts 8, it talks about Philip. It says for, like, almost in passing. Like, it doesn't even, like, focus in on it. It's like, and they were casting out these unclean spirits, and the paralyzed were, you know, moving again. It was cool. And then some people were rejoicing, but it's just like God was doing big things left and right, changing lives, like healing bodies, bringing people from insanity to sanity. He was doing incredible things, big, big things. And for these people, like, they had been changed. They had received something that they could never have for themselves, and they were talking about it. And so when we see that they were scattered, the persecution was great because people who are already just talking about what God's been doing continue to talk about what God's been doing. It spread. It's natural. This is something normal. And so let me give an example of what happens. Down here, I've got, it's a mess. I'm glad no one's sitting here. It's going to be a splash zone, but bear with me. So we've got, this is water. Here's what happened in the beginning. It's not stopping. There we go. So a couple drops were hitting, and that was the start. Jesus came. Jesus healed people. Jesus made things good. And then more. People were added. Jesus was continuing to heal people, did a big thing. Well, when Jesus left, he promised that it would be even better. He said that by him leaving, the person that he would send, the Holy Spirit, would create even greater things. And so we see first day, the Holy Spirit's here. The biggest church planting movement in history has happened. The church multiplied tenfold. At least. It was huge. And so we see a huge downpour. Now, the goal is, this keeps leaking. The goal is that we keep reaching further. The goal isn't, well, as long as you just, you know, get this area, like the rest will just worry about itself. The goal was that this small group of men and women, that this small group of people would take what's happening and continue it. Man, there's a lot of water. And so the goal was to reach everywhere. And so they're trying. They're kind of, they're in their bubble. They're in their security. And they keep multiplying. And they keep multiplying. And they keep multiplying. And they get huge. They get out of control. They create pressure for anyone surrounding them. And then as they're addressing problems and figuring things out, and Stephen gets stoned, persecution hits, and persecution is a mess. And so at the same time that Stephen was stoned, a mess. Everywhere. People scattered in every direction. And what happened was that this group of Christians over here, well, they multiplied. They created a puddle. And then this group of Christians over here, they multiplied. They made a puddle. And that one's dripping. That one's traveling. They're going to other areas as well. And then we come over here, and then here, and here, and here, and here, and here, and here. And they multiplied. They were scattered. But these people had seen something so incredible, they had no choice but to talk about it. They had seen something so big, it would have been selfish to keep it to themselves. And so now I want to focus in. I got some people over here too. They're everywhere. And so now I want to focus in. It's going everywhere. We've got a spot right here. Right here. Right here. And this is us. We've been scattered. As far as I know, most of you have never lived in Jerusalem. You weren't born there. You weren't born in Samaria. Odds are you are a scattered result. Someone told someone outside of Jerusalem and Samaria, and someone told someone else, and then eventually you heard the gospel. You heard how good God is. You heard about these big things he's been doing, and someone told you because they so appreciate what God's been doing. It's natural. It happens. It's healthy. It's real. This is the result of a big God doing big things, and so people just obeying, people listening, people trusting that when he promises that he'll be with us, he is. And so here we have a very small group of scattered people. In fact, scattered people coming from different places. Some of us are from Massachusetts. Some of us are from areas far west or east or south in Connecticut. Some of us aren't really even directly from Griswold. Some of us are. Some of us, most of us, have honestly never really met each other. And these scattered people have grouped up. So we've got this scattered people. We've got a small puddle. And it's starting. It's starting. But here's the thing with puddles is when more are added, it permeates. A puddle isn't happy staying small. A puddle wants to spread. And so if we're going to be a people, a scattered people, who have seen God do incredible things, have been absolutely rocked to the core by a God who can forgive such great sin and do so by sending his own son to die for us, we're changed by that. We're not who we were. Like, you can't interact with this huge God who does something so loving and remain the same. It just doesn't work. And we've seen something incredible, and so we talk about it. And so as we talk about it, we're not doing anything extraordinary. We're not going out and knocking door to door and telling people about the gospel, but we have people in our circles who don't know him. Guaranteed. You're human. You know someone who doesn't know Jesus. And so what happens if we say, all right, I'm going to tell some people, and some people get saved? Now, what happens now? We've got a bigger puddle. It's permeated. It's bigger. All right, let's add some more. They're growing. Well, let's add some more. Let's continue to be faithful. It's dripping. That's cool. Let's continue to add. Let's continue to multiply. Honestly, at this point, you as an individual, we've made a huge puddle. We've made a mess. I've made a mess. We've made a mess. And what you've done is really probably tell 3 or 4 people about Jesus. What's been asked of you hasn't been ridiculous, but as a people, as a scattered group, as people being obedient to God and having seen that big thing, it's easy. We tell people about what we've seen. Tell people about what we've experienced, about the God that we know, about the big and good God. And it multiplies. And it gets bigger. I'll clean this up after it's cool. And it gets bigger and bigger. And we multiply. I've got a towel, it's cool. Don't worry about it. And we've multiplied. Well, now this puddle's unreal. This puddle's too big. This puddle can't be held into one place. It's dripping. It's everywhere. That's what's going to happen. And you know what? Truth is, like, as a people, we're going to move. People are going to leave. People are going to come. What you take with you, though, is you're going to create puddles over here and over here and over here. And truth be told, this great mission that we've been commissioned with, this big task of reaching everyone, this impossible goal. I've got the towel, see? This impossible goal that we've been asked for. We're not doing all that much. We're just being faithful where we are. You don't even have to go out of your way. If you want to tell someone about Jesus, like, you know someone. That's the truth. In fact, even better, you've seen something so big, and you love those people so much. I'm all set with the water. It's just going to stay here. You've seen so much in something so big and something impossible. You've been changed by it. And you have friends who have not been changed by it. What would happen if you told them? I mean, honestly, like, if it's something that's part of your life, you share everything about your life with a friend. You can talk about anything. And so if you talked about this small part, people could hear this and really want to know more about this Jesus. It could really change everything. If there's one thing I know about God, is the way he works isn't small. I've never really had to anticipate God to provide in a little way, because those things are granted. Like, when God provides, but he provides huge. And so if you say, all right, I know this big thing's happened, for sure. I know that it's happened. And you're totally on board, and you know Jesus has changed you, as he's changed me. I'll never be the same. My instinct, my reaction is, I'm going to tell some people. It'll come up in conversation. When your life has been radically changed, it just even comes up. You don't even have to go out of your way. And so, truth, church, we could be huge. We could change our area. You could change your workplace. And yet the beautiful thing is, you do nothing. All you do is tell, and the Holy Spirit takes the rest. It's so simple, and yet so nerve-wracking. I get it. I get scared when I have to tell people about Jesus, but I love it. Because if I think to myself, like, what's going to happen if they say no? Like, who cares? If they say no, they say no. I've heard no before. But I think of the other side. What if they say yes? Nothing will be the same. It'll be changed forever. And so let's return to our text. We're reading here. I totally lost it. Acts 8:4. And we talk about people being scattered. We're a scattered people. when people are scattered, it makes a mess, but it's beautiful. And so it took a bad thing. It took persecution. But the benefit, the upside was so beautiful. We saw people getting saved left and right. And the rest of the book, we're going to continue. We're going to see that people were scattered and God used it. They left home and it was a better place to be. Maybe the same is for us. Like maybe you don't have every favorable situation. I know for a fact, I don't have every favorable situation. It's not like I've got the cards stacked for me. Life's not easy. Life's tough. But the truth is, like, I go places where there are unsaved people. Man, if they could know what Jesus has done for me, I'd love to see him do the same for them. So let's close. Just some final thoughts, and if the worship team would like to make their way up, we'll close in a word of prayer. The power of multiplication is unbelievable. Just unreal. Like, God has done so much. He's made a mess, but it's a great mess. And so I just want to ask, as a body, what would it look like if we were to appreciate what he's done and create multiplication out of it? I'll never be the same, and I hope the same for others. So I'll talk about it. And again, I want to appreciate the fact that it's not easy, but it's so good. It's worth it. So let's close in a word of prayer, and then we'll close out. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for your attention and your love. Thank you so much for the huge, huge gift that you gave us. You came for us. We were absolutely not worth much. We didn't have a ton to offer. We were a mess. And yet you said, I love them. You came down and you paid a huge, unbelievable price. A God who is positioned with all power and all authority and had to earn nothing gave himself up freely for us. And for that, we're grateful. And so I pray as a grateful people, a grateful, scattered people, that we're going to be obedient to your word. When you tell us to take your message to every part of the world, to spread like wildfire, we're going to take that seriously. We're going to obey you, God. You're so worth it. And so as we're obedient, God, you have promised us that your spirit will be with us and what a weight that takes off us. So God, be with us for being obedient. It's not easy. But at the same time, it's beautiful. Like, you're going to do incredible things. You're going to change the town of Griswold. You're a God who is beyond capable of it. I pray for those of us here who have not been super close to you in the past couple weeks, who have been maybe some distant or maybe a little dry, or maybe we haven't entered a relationship with you, that you'll draw on our hearts. You're a big God capable of changing absolutely everything. For those of us who know that, God, we'll never be the same. And I wouldn't trade it for anything. I personally am appreciative of what you've given me and for the opportunity to tell some people about it. You're a good God, and we're grateful. So as grateful people, God, help us in being obedient. We praise you, God. Amen.